in the cattle and timber business, and I've lived most of my young adult life across northern Florida, Gilchrist County and Levy County and Marion County and in that area. And that's where I grew up. Went in the Marine Corps at an early age. Loved every minute of it. I'd do it all today if the country needed me, but that's basically where I come from.
Well, we'd love to hear some of your poetry, if you'd bless us with that.
Well, I'm going to change caps right now. Today's Marine Corps birthday. The first thing I'm going to leave you with is called Law or Justice. Now, this country sure ain't perfect, but for now, it's still the best. And that flag that was raised this morning still reminds me that our values stand the test. Those men who died in all those wars or came a-limping home were mighty proud to see her wave over land or briny foam. It showed that freedom still prevailed, held safe by force of arms, though ever mother's son preferred to be in the factory or on the farm. So let's put them judges in a bunker. Let them hold it through a fight. Then see if they would burn that flag of red and blue and white. That morning sun is shining on that flag a-waving there. Might change your thinking some. They might see why people care. So don't burn that flag where I can see, or you'll not get it done. It comes stand for things that I believe, and you'd be walking dangerous, son. So burn your draft cards, bras, and jeans. March and speak your mind. But leave that grand old flag alone if you value your behind. Now, this is not what this is in my hand. And my memory is like my pocketbook. It's short. Now, this is the program that I'm going to do here today. So I will just keep referring to sticking that hand out there. And normally I work with a wireless mic. And I have that card held around that microphone by a rubber band. And I'm looking right here at it all the time. But today I'm going to be reaching in my pocket. But they, because I don't try to remember the program, I want to remember the poetry. So I'll write the program down. And I'll be bouncing around. We didn't come up here for heavy philosophy or anything like that, so I'm going to give you all a few things to laugh about. They say I play at Cowboys some. They might say I'm a fool. But I guess I'm not completely dumb because I have never bought a mule. A mule has ears which are too long, which anyone can see. That goes to show there's something wrong back in his family tree. There are no withers on one. His conformation's odd. Don't know who invented him, but friend, it wasn't God. A mule will hold a grudge for years, then kick you in the head for something that he thinks you did or something that you said that a horse would not think twice about or take it all in fun. But a mule takes notes and keeps them back to 1961. Now, I know that mules can pack real good. They possess amazing sure-foot arts, but they'll never look the way they should because they're made from extra parts. And just so you understand the way a mule can be, well, burros are all metric, and a horse is SAE. And when you put these two together in a way they don't belong, Them rascals get cross-threaded. And partner, that's what's wrong. And anybody wants to look inside my hat, just tell me, I'll take it off and you can read the labels. Old clothes. These are old. This beautiful leather coat and vest that I have on was made in 49, or I think I bought it in 49. It's probably made in 48, but it's a rarity. They haven't made them since 1950. This is a leather suit and vest made by Stetson. But the chuck wagon trailer had just got his card to attend a roundup reunion, and he stood in the yard, and he stood it a moment and scratched his gray head. Then he brought in a gunny sack from out in the shed. He dumped it out on the clean kitchen floor and took a good look at the clothes he once wore. There was that old hat stained with sweat and with grease, and a pair of fade blue Levi's that bagged in the knees. A leather brush coat and chaps that were scarred up and wrinkled, and a pair of big spurs that just jingled and tinkled. An old pair of boots and a heavy wool shirt, two long hogging strings and a Mexican quirt. He grinned ear to ear and said to his wife, I'm going to give them old waters the start of their lives. I'm going to wear my boots, my chaps, and cross L's. I was once a brush popper, a rider from hell. Now, his wife sure looked wild when she heard what he said. She was starting to get mad, and she was sure turning red, but all of a sudden she changed and said with a smile, yeah, put them on, Daddy, and wear them a while. Well, first was a shirt. How that, it ripped and it tore. And them boots wouldn't go on in his feet anymore. Them faded blue Levi's was too small in the seat. And them leather chaps, they wasn't really all complete. Now, if he could not wear his boots and his chaps, he could not wear his hat. So his plan to play cowboy was kind of finished at that. But his wife, she surprised him, changed him up, all at that. She bought him new boots and a new Stetson hat. He got in the front seat. But she drove the car. You know how us older men with younger wives are. He got to the roundup and reunion, and he met all the boys and had such a day as old folks enjoy. And he looked them all over, and right then he knew they had all wore the clothes their wives told them to. This hat is filthy. It looks pretty nice on the outside because I take cornmeal and I try to keep it rubbed up out here where you see it. But inside, it's just about as stained. It's stained as it can be, but I can't afford to buy me a new one. Besides, if I had a new one, y'all would figure out that I was a city slicker wannabe. So I'm going to keep the one I've got. But the rules of the range are simple at best. Should you wander in my habitat, don't cuss a man's dog, be kind to the cook, and don't mess with a cowboy's hat. Now, I've seen some dogs that need cussing, and when Cookie starts out in the spring, his food ain't fit for buzzard consumption. But a hat, that's a personal thing. It may be all that a cowboy owns, at least that he owns free and clear. So when somebody suggests that he check it, he'd probably act like he didn't hear. Now, in a courtroom, a ballroom, or cafe, if asked, he'd probably tuck it under his chair or decide to himself, hell, if hats ain't welcome, what am I doing here? Now, he subscribes to a loose code of conduct that's unwritten, but here's how it's said. The only place that a hat belongs is a sitting on top of your head. Now, if you're giving some thoughts to my comments, you might expect an exception we're at. A place exists for a cowboy to properly take off his hat. If you're thinking a wedding, forget it. That's a half hitch cowboy can't tie. And if your final guess is a funeral, friend, I can tell you, we don't die. Now, a word to the wise is sufficient, and I guess I should leave it at that. Suffice it to say, you can bum my last dip, but don't mess with a cowboy's hat. And inside this hat is a big label, and it says, like hell it's yours, put it back. And it's got my name and address on it. And a lot of people don't realize it, but the good thing about a cowboy's hat, it's quick. It'll keep you from the sun. And I don't have one on, but the good thing about a cowboy's shirt with snaps, it's quick to come undone. And a good thing about them cowboy jeans is you can buy them by the batch. And a good thing about cowboy boots, them socks don't have to match. They don't have to match. And I've got a bunch of odd socks, I can assure you. We're here to celebrate, you know, the workings of the Florida ranches and the Florida cattlemen and all that sort of stuff. And it's wonderful because Cortez did not unload those cows in Montana, Wyoming, Oklahoma. They unloaded them on the east coast of Florida, a little bit south of St. Augustine. And those Andalusian cattle from area of Spain are what turned into the ringing cows. And then along with the Civil War, when the boys went away, those cattle run wild and just multiplied. And that's where the great cattle herds come from, is the multiplication during the Civil War when we didn't have men to do that work. And it's a wonderful thing because if you people would read the Florida Cattleman, it's printed, available from Florida Cattlemen's Association. It's a fine hardback book, and it's got some real history in it, real history in it. But I want to share with you a little piece of called A Working Ranch. We envy you, said my city friends, your life in the great outdoors. We're thinking of buying a ranch somewhere and living a life like yours. We'll have a garden, our very own, going to keep lots of animals there. A working ranch, they said and smiled. Their eyes held a faraway stare. Their words in my ears ring plain as I start on my morning chores. With two heavy buckets of water and grain, I head for the chicken house door. As I enter that scabby, unpainted shed to a room full of clucking hens, I see the gazebo with white wicker chairs on the lawn of my city friends. I picture them tossing the sunflower seeds to that twittering songbird band when a setting hen ends my reverie by pecking a hole in my hand. Now I leave with my bucket of fresh laid eggs and I step in a juicy cow pie. My feet do the splits and I land in the dirt and my eggs fly off to the sky. As I lie on the ground supine, I spy that the garden gate is awry and there six heifers are munching around on my summer food supply. Now my two frantic collies and I commence to bark and scream and yell. The heifers depart by the way of the fence, trampling it all to, well. I fix that fence and enter the house as my neighbor phones to say that my horses have wandered into his field and is eating his prime cut hay. And would I like my registered saddle mare bred to his workhorse stud, ask he. No, 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 I screech, and I move with alacrity. Now my city friends wear designer jeans. My city friends eat quiche. They got a courtyard full of flowers and poodles trained for the leash. But they yearn for a working ranch, they say, to experience its joys and its fun. Another day like this one's been, damn if I won't give them this one. You know, when I grew up down there, Papa and Daddy cutting that timber, and I was the smallest one of the boys in statue. So I had two huge brothers, Mac and Andy. I'm talking about Amazons. Mac was 6'10", and Andy was 6'9". I'm talking about men. So I'm what you'd call a short round. That's the reason I wound up on the cow side instead of logging timber like the rest of them did, or most of them. Kenneth, my brother Kenneth, he worked with me, but when I was like this, you know, all my brothers had horses. I wanted a pony. I wanted a pony. If I couldn't have a pony, I didn't want nothing. Well, my mother, I didn't know it until I left home and married two beautiful ladies that were culinary artists. My mother was a rough cook. But I didn't know that till I left home. Now, she fed us, but she had to feed an army anyway. But she was a rough cook, and I learned to really appreciate these things. But my dad, he had a brand new Model T Ford, and he had a little business in Miami. Hey, boy, I got to go to Miami, pick up a couple of parts for sawmill. You want to go with me? Could I, Papa? Could I go? Could I go, Papa? Could I go? Yeah, you can go. Just tell your mama you're going with me. Papa, am I going to get that pony? Am I going to get that pony? If I can't have a pony, I don't want nothing. Shut your mouth, boy, and get that bushel basket. Well, my mother, the rough cook that she was, made the greatest desserts and candies you've ever seen in your life. My mother made divinity that would absolutely float. You could throw it, and it never hit the ground. And my mother said that my dad, his initials were O.V., and she called him O.V. His name was Oscar Berlin, but she called him O.V. She said, O.V., bring me back some coconuts. Living out there in that cow country and them timber lines, you know. Now, there was a bunch of coconut trees there going into Miami, little old watermelon-type stands. So I'm in that new Model T, you know. Hey, man, I'm going up there. I was about six or seven, something like that. And he pulls off. He gets out that bushel basket. And he goes to putting that stuff in there. I said, Daddy? I said, what is that? He said, what do you mean, what is that? I said, what you putting in that basket? He said, son, that's pony eggs. Look at the hair on them. You've been wanting a pony. Now, let me tell you something, boy. We get these back to the house. He said, they're just like them hens. Them hens roll them eggs every day in that nest. I'm going to put these on the back porch. You have to turn them every day. Every day. Well, every day I get out there and I'm turning them eggs. It got down there Christmas time and Mama began to bust them coconuts. I come down there one morning rubbing the sleep out of my eyes. And let me tell you something. Mama, I wasn't going to have a pony. I was going to have a remuda. There was a bunch of coconuts there. Mama, I ain't never going to have no pony. You done broke my pony eggs. When Mama told me what Dad had done, silently I swore, someday, sometime, someplace, I'd even up the score. But Dad is old and feeble now, and his mind is not too good. I really still haven't forgiven him, although I know I should. But I've been having second thoughts. Maybe what I'm doing's worse. I got my daddy sitting on an eggplant trying to hatch himself a nurse. And speaking of this, I'll give you a little disputed epicure. That's the one thing learned, son. Big vocabulary. Learn it. You gotta have it. Disputed epicure. What is your favorite cut of beef? This highborn lady queried this old cowman who long ago had grown both wise and weary of direct infernal questions concerning cowpoke lore. But he considered carefully on this question that he had never been asked before. With rapt anticipation on his paws, the lady hung, until at last the old cowman said, I'd have to say it's tongue. Beef tongue has flavor and texture and nary a bit of bone. She's a cinch to cook up. I put her up on top there all alone. Recalling, the lady said, surely, sir, you jest. Your idea is revolting. Your grossness, I protest. Eat something from out of a cow's mouth? Your suggestion's crude, I beg. The cowman then asked softly, lady, did you ever eat an egg? We've all got them. And a lot of people don't know where our crazy ideas come up from, but those of us who've had to work the beautiful sunny Florida plains have spent a lot of time on horseback alone, possibly with nothing but the dog and your horse. And you have time to gather your thoughts and you think about things, and maybe you'll make a little note or two and then you'll share them that night. Maybe you'll write them down. But anyway, and we've all got one, or most, not everybody, but a lot of people have got it. But he's laying over there by the fireplace, licking places that's obscene. But I guess I'll have to give him credit. He's trying to keep them clean. And when he goes out in that yard, he will drag his wormy butt back and across that grass until he's almost making ruts. And when people come to visit, though ain't often one comes round, he'll sniff their crotch so hard he almost lifts them off the ground. He chases cars and chickens, and he has killed the neighbor's sheep. And hell, if he wasn't my brother, I'd have him put to sleep. Now, this sweet director, Miss Tina here, she didn't know what to expect from me. And this is the first time I've ever had the privilege of being here. And I guarantee you, after I get done, she'll never invite me back again. But I'm having a nice time, and I want y'all to do the same thing. But I do things, and we do things that people don't realize. When I sold my ranch and moved into town, I planted beautiful flowers all around. Now, the garden club heard what I had done, and they come to see how my little spread was run. Why my flowers were always big, beautiful, and green, there must be something that can't be seen. So they come to find the very process that guaranteed my great success. And I told them, I said, well, to make my flowers mature, I just use some old cow manure. Old cow manure is better than most, and it sure beats trying to make compost. And there was this snobbish little miss who had a puzzled look on her face when she asked me this. Old cow manure? Oh, I see. But just how old should that cow be? I heard that. You know, a 2 a.m. call is no fun at all to a rancher that needs his rest. To hell with that thing. Just let it ring. Old Bud wouldn't leave his warm nest. But Bud, Liz cried, suppose someone has died. Her voice, though uncertain, was warning. Well, Liz, Bud said, if anybody's dead, they'll still be dead in the morning. Yeah, it's called a unique kind of humor, I realize that. Caustic humor, get in on the last line. This is such a beautiful tract of land, and thanks to the taxpayers, the state of Florida. And we were very fortunate to be spared last May, and I'm glad that we were, because I'm enjoying my trip here. But I want you to know that I haven't seen any deer, but I've seen and heard a lot of birds. And when winter nods its sleepy head and spring awakes again, a robin comes to spread the news with all her feathered kin. She greets the sun who wakes the day and spreads the news around that spring again has kissed the earth with beauty so profound. Each morning to my windowsill, she brings her joyful song to sing away the haze of dawn and urge the day along. With bits of twig and strings and love, she builds her tiny nest. And soon those downy infants sleep beneath her crimson breast. I marvel at the joy she brings, more joy than gold can buy. But I am thankful when I wash my car. I'm glad that a cow can't fly. You know, I've never had a racehorse. I've had some thoroughbred cross, a thoroughbred and a Morgan cross is one of the finest combinations ever had, but I've never owned a racehorse, but had a neighbor that did. But his name was Joe Thomas. Joe showed up at the racetrack with a horse that sure could run. And when the dust had settled, he had outrun everyone. Record books were altered. Blameless bloodlines all took heed of this horse no one had heard of that was blessed with blinding speed. Now the news media, they grabbed old Joe, shoved him in the stall and closed the door. They said, we want to scoop on that amazing horse of yours. How old is he and where all has he raced? And Joe said, well, he's 8 up to now. He ain't been any place. The newsmen were all baffled. Disbelief was in the air. With a horseless speed like that, why haven't you raced him anywhere? Joe said, I would have raced him, but speed's a tricky thing. I couldn't catch that bugger till he pulled up lame this spring. I've enjoyed being here with y'all. And I'm coming back at 3:30 along with little Doyle Rigdon, and we're going to do some then. And tonight, down at the amphitheater,